Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening in. We invite you to look with us in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Again, Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, "These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword, I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you also have those who hold to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verses 1 through 29, all of Revelation chapter 2. Lord, thank you for the privilege, the wonderful gift, the wonderful blessing and opportunity to be a part of the family of God, your church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving us and bringing us out of the world and into a new relationship with you and a new relationship with one another. Lord, pour out your spirit of grace, mercy, and power upon the church more and more. Help us to rise up and in areas where we need to repent. Help us to repent of wrong we've done against you. Forgive us, Lord, and empower us to walk in greater and greater obedience. And Lord, give us the spirit of boldness this day to know your will and to boldly do your will, to stand up and be a bright, shining witness in a world that is in so many ways becoming darker and darker. Thank you for the chance for us to be bright, shining torches for your kingdom every day, wherever you've called us to be. Help us to shine more and more brightly with every passing day for you and your kingdom. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. I want to remind you once again, we have coming up in just a few weeks our Fall Share-a-thon. And if you would, we invite and would like to encourage you to call us and share a listener testimony. Share how the Lord has used Urban Family to bless you, to strengthen you in your walk with the Lord, and to help you to become a more faithful disciple and follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll call this number and share a listener testimony, we'd appreciate that, and you may very well hear your testimony during our Fall Share-a-thon. That number is 1-877-327-5647. Again, that's 1-877-327-5647. Also, we're just one day away from Operation Tank Full of Love. Again, this is an effort on the part of Urban Family and American Family Radio and Eric Horner Ministries. It's a way to reach out to those who help defend our freedom in the armed forces. It's our opportunity to say thanks to those who've sacrificed so much and given of themselves, again, in our military, specifically in this case, a gift to soldiers at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. On tomorrow, September 17th, Operation Tank Full of Love will bless soldiers serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, with free gas for their vehicles. Help us say thank you to the soldiers and families serving at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And again, if you haven't contributed yet, today is a good day to do it. Again, we're one day away from it, but you can still help out if you would. And whatever amount you're able to give, whether it be a larger amount, even a very small gift, all of it will help. 100% of it will go towards this cause. Our goal this year is to serve 2,500 soldiers. Operation Tank Full of Love is a gift from the body of Christ and a great way to let them know that we're proud of them and we appreciate what they do. Donations of the fuel are needed to reach the goal. And again, 100% of that that is given will go towards purchasing the fuel. To contribute or for more information, go online to tankfulloflove.com. Again, that's tankfulloflove.com. Or you can call 1-877-968-3742. Again, 1-877-968-3742. If you'd like to be a part of this very important outreach, we invite you to do that. And then finally, once again, we want to remind you of the Praying in the Garden project that Urban Family is spearheading. If you or your church family would like to schedule an evening, again, we're encouraging churches or prayer groups to schedule one evening at 6 o'clock to come to the Garden of Hope at 100 Park Gate here in Tupelo, Mississippi. Again, a beautiful prayer garden behind Park Gate Pregnancy Clinic here in Tupelo at 100 Park Gate, and a place where you can come and pray. And again, it's up to you if you want to pray for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. That's up to you. But our goal is to schedule for the rest of this month a church every single evening, 7 days a week, to be there at 6 p.m., whether you live in the Tupelo community, if you want to travel somewhere else and bring, you might bring a group of 5 people. It might be 50 people. It might be 100 people. Whatever number you want to bring, it's a big prayer garden. And we invite you to come and pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, pray for our government, pray for any and everything that's on your heart to pray for. Pray for your local community and your city as well. Again, prayer is one of those wonderful gifts that it's a kingdom currency. And it's where God gives you your own printing press. You can print as much prayer as you want. So remember this. I want to encourage you to consider inviting someone that's a part of your church family, whether it's your prayer group or just a group of believers that want to come and pray in the garden. If you want to do that, simply call this number, 1-662-844-5036, extension 381. We'd be glad to put you down on the schedule. And again, how long you stay is entirely up to you. Once again, that number is 1-662-844-5036, extension 381. We look forward to your being a part of this very important prayer outreach. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. I'm grateful to have as our phone guest today, Nia Page. Nia is she's a a disciple maker, amongst other things. She's an author, and she's written a book entitled Spending Time with God. And we had the privilege of being in the South Haven, Mississippi community a couple nights ago and meeting her. But she's been a listener to Urban Family and a great servant of God. Nia, how are you today?
I'm so good. Thanks for having me.
It's an honor to have you on the broadcast today. And it's always good to put a face with a name. Of course, amongst other things, I think you've been a Cherubinite for a period of time, but we're grateful to have you on the broadcast today. So thanks so much for taking the time. As we start, Nia, I'm going to ask if you'll introduce yourself to our listeners, tell them a little bit about yourself, and then we want to talk a little bit about the book that the Lord put on your heart to put together about spending time with God.
Great. Thank you so much. Yes, my name is Titania Page, but I just ask people to call me Nia. It's a lot easier that way. I became a Christian in 2010, and immediately after I became a Christian, the Lord just put a passion in my heart to share the gospel with people. And I just love sharing my faith with others, but there was a little bit of a problem. I wasn't sure how to grow in the faith, and I really wasn't sure how to articulate the gospel or articulate this big, incredible thing that happened to me. So for a while, I was just trying to figure out what is it that I need to do in order to grow as a Christian. And the Lord just really revealed to me that that's spending time with Him, spending time with God. But there was a problem as well with that, because no one had ever really shared with me what spending time with God was. So I was just really confused and not really knowing which direction to go. And so for a while, I prayed and asked the Lord to really show me how it is that I'm supposed to grow in my faith and how it is that I'm supposed to spend time with Him. And that's kind of what drove me to write Spending Time with God. As somebody who had a church background but wasn't really a Christian until they became a believer and going on my third year in college, there was a lot of things that I knew from a sense of going to church every Sunday, but now on a personal level of how do I really, you know, interact and communicate with the Lord.
Okay. Nia, I'm going to ask you this. I'll tell you what I want to do is I'm going to take a moment. I want to pray for you and your work, but I also want to pray for people who may be in a similar situation like you were, because there are a lot of people out there who are there, many of them are in church, but no one has ever taught them specifically, what do you do to grow up in your faith? What are the things that and the activities we do to really begin to grow strong in the Lord? Lord, thank you for Nia. Thank you for the work you've called her to, and thank you for every listener that's listening today. Lord, pour out upon us knowledge and understanding of how we grow up in the faith. Teach us to be believers who understand that becoming a student of your word, who's reading your word daily, is a vital part of it. Teach us, Father, that we must be people who live lives given to prayer. And teach us also that we're called to be believers that hear and obey your word. Help us to know, Lord, that as we take time to do these things, these are spiritual habits that help us to grow strong in you, draw closer to you, and help us to become mature in the faith, whereby we become vessels that become more and more fruitful vessels through which your work can be done and through which you can reach and in turn make other disciples and teach them to draw closer and grow strong in you as well. Thank you again for the work you've called Nia to. Anoint her ministry. Bless it indeed. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mighty upon it. Keep her from evil that it may not cause pain. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our guest is Nia Page. We'll be right back after this break.
Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk. The Awakening. Shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening. Encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American. I am an American.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening.
The only thing good when it's semi-sweet is chocolate. So why are you walking around semi-sweet and pretty close to bitter? The enemy likes to feed bitterness by aiding in our recall of times and situations where we've been hurt. The problem with constantly reliving these hurts is that with every recall, we, yes, we, injure our spirit all over again. Even in his correction of us, the Lord does not cast us off forever. Lamentations 3:32 says, though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Until you can truly release your offender, you are bound by an offense which the enemy uses to cause bitterness to grow. Left unchecked, this bitterness spreads to every area of our lives. Forgive from the heart as you've been forgiven. It's the only escape from the trap of bitterness. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Miki Addison. Go deeper at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Can you imagine what the Pharisees thought after they learned of Saul's Damascus Road experience? Saul had been to the Sanhedrin and gotten permission to kill anybody that looked like they could have been Christian. And now he's had this life-changing experience on the Damascus Road that in an essence and an instant changed him from a killer to an apostle. We too are changed when we come in contact with the Lord. A true encounter, a true experience. You can imagine, and many a picture has depicted, the people's reaction to Paul after his conversion. He didn't act the same and he didn't talk the same. So I have a question for you. Can anyone tell that you've had an encounter with the Lord? It's not about how big your Bible is. It's not about if you can quote every scripture from the Bible and give its reference. It's all about your life change and how you live. Thank him today for your transformation. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
There's a voice that cries out in the silence, searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all. He wants it all, and he says, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all. He wants it all. And he says, love me. Love me.
searching for a heart that will love him. Longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all. He wants it all.
The music of Forever Jones, the song He Wants It All. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. You know, the Word of God tells us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And in just a few moments, as Nia comes back to share about her book entitled Spending Time with God, I want to encourage you, if you're one who's not reading the Bible every day, today is a great day to start that very important habit. I like to encourage a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the Bible every single day. That's just a good basic spiritual meal for your heart and your mind. But again, we can pretty much do what we want to do on a given day. So for those that say, I don't have time to read my Bible, well, again, it's time for you to stop fooling yourself. You have time for what you want to do. But again, reading 3 chapters a day will bless your life tremendously because it pours grace, peace, power, and strength into your mind, your heart. You need it. Your children need it. Your grandchildren need it. Everybody needs it. So if you're not reading every day, I hope you'll start that. And just very quickly, I want you to keep this important point in mind, too. You know, you think of this, the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry, he quoted scripture quite a bit. Well, if you'd ask the question, which Old Testament books did Jesus quote the most? Well, real quickly, I want you to keep this in mind. Let me mention the 4 most quoted books Jesus quoted. The 4th most quoted book was the book of Exodus that Jesus quoted from. Jesus specifically quoted from that book 7 times. The 3rd most quoted book was Isaiah. He quoted Isaiah at least 8 times. The 2nd most quoted book was the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus quoted that book 10 times. And the most quoted book from the lips of the Lord Jesus in his earthly ministry was the book of Psalms. And again, all of those, and keep this in mind too, the book of Psalms is actually the most read book in the whole Bible. But remember, all of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is the Word of God. All of it is Jesus. And all of it are the words and the wisdom of Jesus. So if you start reading it every day, today, it'll start blessing you. Not only do I want to encourage you to do that, make it your habit to encourage others to do the same. Regularly challenge and encourage others to set that same habit of reading 3 chapters a day. You will be a blessing wherever you go. Our phone guest today is Nia Page. She's the author of the book, Spending Time with God. Nia, at this time, I'm going to ask if you'll specifically continue and share with our listeners just how the Lord, again, led you to go ahead and put this particular book together.
Thank you. You know, what you just said was pretty much the heart behind it. When I became a Christian, again, nobody really explained to me what it meant to spend time with God, but I knew that if I wanted to be effective in his ministry and effective in his work, and I knew that if I really wanted to get the most out of my relationship with God and my life as a child of God, that I needed to spend that time with him. And so it was a little discouraging for me at first because, you know, I used to just try to do what people kind of, you know, I heard in conversations and tidbits in church, you know, that people would read for a certain time or that they would pray for a certain time. So I would try to do these things on my own. I would, you know, get up early in the morning and just sit there and just try to pray the entire time or just try to read God's word the entire time. And sometimes my whole way of doing it, I used to get discouraged, like, am I doing this right? How am I supposed to do this? Is this pleasing to God? And I would get so discouraged because I didn't know exactly what I was supposed to do or how I was supposed to get something out of it. And so what kept me going, what motivated me to really ask the Lord, Lord, how do I spend time with you? What do I do? Was that desire to know him more, that desire to, you know, really benefit, you know, receive that life from his relationship. And so I knew in my heart of hearts that if I wanted that that's what I had to do. So I prayed for a season, and I asked the Lord, I said, God, how do I spend time with you? What am I supposed to do? So I searched the scriptures, and I asked mature believers in my church, and also, you know, just reading books and things from, you know, people like C.S. Lewis and you know, quotes and things from Charles Spurgeon, those kind of people who really were on fire for the Lord. And I came up with this book. I wrote it in plain language, conversational language, so that somebody who is not used to going to church can pick up this book and read simply how to spend time with God.
Okay. Well, Nia, I tell you what I want you to do. If you'll take time now specifically to pray for our listeners that they'll get the most out of the truth that you're going to be sharing. And then I want to kind of step through your book a little bit because, again, you have a number of very interesting topics that you deal with. Basically, it's really a workbook more than just a reading book, correct?
Yes. All about not only hearing what God's Word says, but it's important that we do what God's Word says.
That's right.
Sometimes I feel like we don't know exactly how that looks. I know for myself, if I don't have an idea how that actually, you know, fleshes out, then I'm kind of stuck at point one, you know, and I want to do what God's Word says. And so that's why I made this book something actionable that people can pick up and actually start doing.
Put to work, right. Would you pray for our listeners that they'll just really grasp a lot of that which the Lord is sharing through you today?
Yes, yes, thank you. God, I thank you so much, Lord. You are so big, God. God, I thank you so much that people are listening, Lord, and in their heart of hearts, Lord, they really want to know you more. They want to understand you more, God. They want a better relationship with you. Now, God, as they listen, I pray that you would touch their hearts and that you would help them, Lord, to actively pursue you, not wait for you to do the work of you, you know, just making them love you and making them pick up their Bible. Yes, Lord, we are called to love you, and you have enabled us to love you. But, Lord, I pray that you would stir up their hearts, Lord, and help them to commit today, Lord, to reading your word every day, God. We commit to so many other things, God. We commit to so many other things, even TV shows, God. Lord, get it in our hearts and in our minds to commit to really come into you for the benefit of ourselves, Lord, to receive from you, to receive the joy that comes with being in relationship with you, God. I pray that for the listeners today, God. I pray that if somebody is where I was, Lord, where they wanted to learn how to spend time with you, God, that they would be blessed by this book, Lord, that they would learn how to spend time with God and just come to you, Lord, faithfully each morning and find other people to encourage to spend time with you and to hold each other accountable to that, to pursuing you, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. And Nia, as you start off, would you share with our listeners, if someone who's listening thinks they'd like to get the book, tell them how they can get the book, get a copy.
Yes. The heart behind the ministry, Life Before Eternity, I don't want to necessarily put a barrier for someone to be able to receive the resources. So spending time with God, like other resources on the website, is available for free for download, if you would like, at lifebeforeeternity.com. That's L-I-F-E. Before, B-E-F-O-R-E, eternity, eternity.com, lifebeforeeternity.com. And so you just go there, and when you sign up to join our community, you just give me your name and your email. The book will be sent straight to your email. You can just click the link to download it. Or if you would like to donate or support my ministry, there's also a link on the website where you can just click to buy Life Before Eternity in the printed edition for $10.
Okay. All righty then. Okay. Well, as it relates to the book, again, when we had a chance to meet you the other day, thank you again for the copy that you gave to me. In looking at the book, one of the first things you touch on is you talk about choosing a time and a place and sticking with it. Now, why, from your perspective, is it important to do that, to choose a time and a place to spend time with the Lord? Why do you think that's important?
Well, if I met you on the street and then I told you, maybe we knew each other from being in class or something like that. If I met you on the street and I said, hey, let's get together, and then I walked away without setting up any details, any time, or any place for us to meet, you wouldn't think I was serious, now would you?
That's exactly
so
right.
And it's the same thing with our relationship with God. We can't just say, oh, I'm going to spend time with God. If we're not specific, if we're not, you know, we can't separate the practical, our practical spiritual goals from the practical. You know, if you have a goal, whether it's spiritual or, you know, in general, you need to be serious about it and get specific about it. And so if you're serious about meeting God, then set up a time and set up a place and make that a priority for you to meet God.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. And, you know, Nia, I think of this as it relates to what you're sharing. And let me say this, too. I really appreciate your heart and your desire to really share this message with believers, because this is really a huge issue in the church. There are lots of people that have come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, but no one, whether it be, it didn't happen through their attending Sunday morning service, sometimes through mm-hmm. Sunday school, Bible study, no one ever taught them specifically what are the ingredients of, what are the building blocks of growing up in the Lord? What are the tools that help you to become a strong and vibrant disciple? And of course, as you touched on so beautifully, spending time with God in prayer, spending time in the Word, spending time living what you learn, those are the basic elements of discipleship. And, you know, I like to use the three letters of the word PRO, P-R-O, prayer, reading the Word, and obeying the Word as well. And that really encompasses every part of our walk then. So, again, the truths you're touching on are very, very important then. So, now, you also touch on, you mentioned under some helpful guidelines listed in the book, meet God in the AM. Now, why did you share that specifically? What's the point behind that?
I think the best time to meet God is first, because there's a couple of reasons. First, because what you do first in the morning will set the tone for the rest of your day.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of us also, you know, like you mentioned before, we say we're too busy, or by the time we get home we're too exhausted. Then why don't you meet God before you get too busy, before you get distracted, before you get too exhausted? Get up in the morning and meet with God and spend that time with Him. And at first, for someone who is not used to getting up early in the morning to do something like that, it may seem at first to you like something that is difficult or something. It might put you off. But once you get up and you start doing that, let me tell you.
Can you hear me? Okay, looks like we lost her briefly. But I'm going to go ahead and touch on Nia until we get Nia back. Another section of the book touches on this. It says, meet God in the AM. Secondly, how to wake up early. Thirdly, choose a distraction-free place as well. Now, keep this very important point in mind. One of the passages of Scripture that comes to my mind as it relates to this is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, He and His disciples, as they meet with Martha and Mary. That story has many lessons in it, but amongst other things, the lesson about the importance of not being pulled away by distractions in the world. And sometimes distractions aren't what we think they are. And in this case, Martha was apparently cleaning up, cooking, getting ready for a guest. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And listen, Nia, are you back with us?
Yes, hey.
Okay. Well, just briefly, we're almost ready to go into another break, though, but I'm going to want you to pick up right there. But I was just reminding our listeners that Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, the story of Mary and Martha, really touch powerfully on some of the truths you mention in your book. The fact that, again, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening and learning from Him. That's the way she's spending her time. Martha's cooking, cleaning up, doing that kind of thing. So we need to be more like Mary and not quite as much like Martha. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our guests, Nia Page, will be right back after this break.
Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Our country is suffering because of lack of leadership, division, and a disdain for godliness. Urban Family Talk exists to be a prophetic voice as we speak on matters of religion, family, and culture. We will not be silent on issues plaguing our communities today as we sound the alarm of truth, wisdom, and empowerment. Join the movement at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
What's going on? It's your man, Sean Tanner, and you are in the field with the track stars, Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, and DJ Jeremiah. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and be sure to tune in to the Track Stars each and every Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. Log on to www.trackstarsradio.com or download our app available on iTunes and the Android market to get our podcast. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and Track Stars Radio. Let's go!
Husbands and wives have different roles in the home. They have to. But Dr. Tony Evans says in some areas, they shouldn't be as different as some couples make them. He explains as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Many men have this idea. I go out, I'm the provider, you're the wife, you stay home, you do your job, I do my job, and that's where the problem is. No, the home is your job. The role of the wife is to help the husband do his job well, but she is not to replace your role in the home. Mister, your role is to set an environment in the home of intimacy, a dwelling, not a house, but a home. To dwell together has the idea that you are working in concert with her to create an environment of harmony, to be at home. You know, when somebody comes to visit you and you say, make yourself at home, you mean more than just sit down. You mean be comfortable, be at peace, be restful. It is your job to make sure, as much as humanly possible, that your home is not a place of strife. And to do that, you've got to be there. Listen, mister, your wife didn't marry a paycheck. She married you. She didn't marry a car. She married you. And whenever you measure the quality of your role as a husband by virtue of the trinkets in your house, you've missed it.
Learn more about the strength, commitment, and sacrifice it takes to live up to God's definition of real manhood. It's all spelled out in Dr. Evans' bestseller, Kingdom Man. Copies are available at tonyevans.org, along with study guides, leaders' guides, and everything you need to promote God's view of manhood in your home or church. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Music of Covenant Church, the song Let My Heart Dance. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our phone guest today is Nia Page, and she's the author of the book Spending Time with God. Nia, as we kind of continue looking through the book, you have on a page that's entitled Suggested Tools for Your Devotional Time, you mentioned the Bible, journal, and pen or pencil. Share with us the thoughts behind this listing of suggested tools for the devotional time.
Well, of course, the Bible is essential to our devotional time because it's one of God's greatest means of communicating to us. Mm-hmm. And it's one of our greatest means of knowing details specifically about Him. And so I like to think of when you approach a devotional time, when you're reading the scriptures, that's a time where you can, you know, learn more about God. But as you kind of read the scriptures and put yourself in the narrative, kind of see what it is that God is trying to speak to you in your daily life at that time, and what is it that you're dealing with that you need to hear from the Lord about. And the journal, the purpose behind the journal is not only to just, you know, capture what God is communicating to you that day, but also for you to look back and, you know, to track what the Lord has been doing through your prayer life as you ask God in prayer for these different things. For you to record, you know, what God has done for you. And I mentioned in the book that I looked back at my journal one time and was observing my own prayer life, and I saw that for a period of time I was just really focused on, you know, a job and getting a better salary and things like that, and I had to repent then really ask the Lord to help me to just, you know, focus on depending on Him and being satisfied with His provision for me. And so that's a great way to not only, you know, journal what the Lord has done, but also to see where you are spiritually, to go back and see where the Lord has brought you from and what He's been teaching you.
Okay. So now journaling, so basically a journal would be like a notebook, and you mainly write down prayer, the matters that you are wanting to, or that you have prayed for?
You would write down what you've been praying about, but I also write down what the Lord, in the book I talk about meditation and meditating on God's word. And that way we fill our minds with God's word and really stop and marinate on what His word is saying. So I like to read a passage and rewrite it in my own words. And so I write that in my journal. Mm-hmm. And when I'm reading it and God has impressed something on my heart, or I'm impressed by the passage, I like to write what the Lord gave me at that moment, or what He was telling me at that moment, you know, for me to observe in my own life as it relates to my own life. So that's something you can write in your journal as well.
Okay. And so when you say journaling, and again, like you're sharing how you do that, and of course, this is interesting to think about. I've heard people, for example, people that journal, different people do different things with their journal. And I appreciate you sharing that, because for some people, they've never done that. They've never written down their thoughts and their thinking. So that's a helpful thing, just to hear exactly what you do and what you actually write down. You sort of write sort of your own translation or understanding of what you're getting. That's what you're saying, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I try to, in my own words, you know, tit for tat what the scripture is saying, but just say it in my own words, because it helps me to actually think and register what am I reading right now. Because I have a tendency to daydream sometimes, and I'll start to read this, and then I'll start thinking about something I have to do later on in the day. But this helps me to engage with the word and really, you know, put it in, like you said, my own translation, so I understand what am I reading and you know, how would I communicate this to someone else if they asked me what I read.
Mm-hmm. Okay, then. And then the next page over says have a plan. And it mentions scripture reading, meditation, prayer, and then your to-do list includes choose a Bible plan for your scripture reading and make a prayer request list. Would you comment on your thoughts there?
I really, I'm the type of person, I think more people are like this too, especially when you're first starting out trying to do devotional time, you might feel subconscious like I was, like, am I doing this right? Well, this is not like a concrete plan that you have to do in your daily devotional time. I found that scripture reading, meditation, and prayer was a really great flow, because if I start, of course I'm going to pray before I read the scriptures, you know, so that the Lord will help me understand what I'm reading, give me a teachable spirit. But I found that when I started with scripture reading, I was receiving something. And so sometimes when I just get up and start just immediately trying to pray because I think I should start with prayer, you know, whatever it is, whatever, you know, thought we have about how we should do something. Mm-hmm. I found that when I started with scripture reading and then I meditated on it, I was receiving something. So then I could come back in prayer and say to the Lord, you know, thank you for, you know, what you gave me in your word, and have something like a spiritual momentum, if you will. And having a plan just helps you to not only, not that you can't, you know, some days if you have something that the Lord is dealing with you on your heart, go to a different scripture, but it's good to have structure, because it helps you to, you know, first of all, get through the whole, you know, the whole book, the whole Bible, and see some things and examine some things that you wouldn't naturally yourself go to, but the Lord can deal with you on as you go through the scriptures. But, you know, it helps you to, you know, go ahead and move forward in your reading. And I make a prayer request list because, too, sometimes, let me mention this, too. When you start with scripture reading, while you're reading it and meditating on the word, the Lord might, you know, convict you of something in your own life that you need to ask forgiveness for. So as I do that I can go to prayer with a specific aim or goal in mind to pray and ask the Lord to help me with, you know, X, Y, Z sin that I'm struggling with. And then going back to the prayer request list, It helps me to remember other people in my prayer. It helps me to be, dedicated and persistent in prayer about certain things that are going on in my life. And it gives me a measurable way to hold God accountable to what I've asked him for according to his word. God says if we ask him in his name, if we're asking something that's going to glorify him and that's pleasing to him, and we're asking that in his name, and we hold him accountable to that word from the Bible, and we have this, written down, we can hold God accountable to that and say, Lord, I've requested this, and then we can go ahead. I like to go back and scratch out the prayers that God answered and mm-hmm. put a little date next to it. That's so cool, to see God actively moving in your life. So it's encouraging.
That's good. That's good. Well, I think of this too. It's good to understand the art of meditation. Just like, for example, it's always valuable to read the Word of God. But meditation goes beyond just the basic reading. Meditating is continuing to mull over the Word of God, maybe reading it several times. Like, for mm-hmm. example, you may read the 23rd Psalm once. But if you read that same psalm, say, half a dozen, six times, well, again, it's like you're going deeper and deeper, mm-hmm. and the Holy Spirit helps you keep on digging. He's our helper. He helps us along. So I appreciate you sharing your thoughts about the art of meditation, because that's a very important part of our growing and drawing from the Word of God, drawing power, grace, and encouragement from his Word. So now, you mentioned specifically on a page that's entitled Devotional Scripture Reading, a number of things you mentioned specifically. It says quiet yourself. Secondly, read the Scripture. Thirdly, read and reflect. Fourth, pray the Scripture. And fifth, take some time to be still. So would you comment on your thoughts on that page?
Yes. I like to start with a brief word of prayer, and I pray and ask the Lord to help me to quiet my thoughts. I don't want to be thinking about work or breakfast or whatever is going on that day. I want to get my heart ready to hear from the Lord. And, that even just waking up, sometimes we have a million things on our mind, a million things on our plate, but devotional time is that time that we want to stop and put a pause on all those things and have a quiet, a teachable spirit as we approach God's word. And so that's what I start with. And then I think it's beneficial for us to do that. And so when we read the Scripture, we're ready to receive something, ready to learn something. And so when we read the Scripture, I think it's great to, firstly read it and get a whole picture. Read your passage or a chapter and read it to get a whole picture of what's going on. But don't rush. We shouldn't rush. And so that second time through is the time we can slow down and really reflect on what's being said. Mm-hmm. I like to pretend I'm somebody in the narrative, just watching and observing what's going on. Mm-hmm. And you pick up more things, more behaviors of the people when you do that. I feel like you can put yourself more in this situation to see how those particular people or whatever was going on in the passage would react. Like, mm-hmm. let's say, for example, when the disciples were on the boat in the midst of the storm, trying to put yourself there, like, what would you be doing while all of that happening? When mm-hmm. Christ came upon the water and, sealed everything, how would you, react and things like that? Mm-hmm. And then I like to pray the Scripture. So when you're reading the Scripture, again, sometimes something is impressed upon your heart or you read something like from the Psalms or something like that, like, that you should pray for yourself. Let's just say there's a scripture that says, I want to behold the treasures or the wonders of your word, of your law. And you can just stop and pray that for yourself. God, help me to behold the wonders of your word, Lord, to see the beautiful things in your law. Help me to treasure your word in my heart. You can just, stop and pause and think about that and pray that for yourself or pray that for somebody else. And then when I say take time and be still, I mean, really think about what you've read, and that's what meditation is engaging the word and really trying to figure out, what is being said here about your life and how I can apply that to, how can I apply what I've learned today? And, thanking God for teaching you and communicating through his word, because his word is living and active in our lives as we read it on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Thank you for sharing those things, too. Now, our time is almost gone. Real quickly before our time ends, would you touch on this? You mentioned on a page entitled Prayers, you mentioned about worship, confession, request, trust in God, and submission. And I tell you what I need to do. Share with our listeners one more time how to get the book, because it's an excellent tool, and we're about to run out of time. So share with them one more time. If they want to get the book, how can they get it?
Yes, thank you so much. Please go to lifebeforeeternity.com. Again, the book is available to anybody who wants it for free for download. All you have to do is go to the website, and there'll be a link on the blog page to your right, and it says just put your name and your email in it, and we'll send this book straight to your email address, and you can just download it from there. Again, the website is lifebeforeeternity.com, lifebeforeeternity.com.
Amen.
And you can also purchase it for $10 for if you want to support the ministry, if you like. But just please, by all means, download it for free.
Okay. Okay, then. Nia, thank you so much for being with us on the broadcast and sharing about the book as well. As we close, I want to take a moment to pray again for you, the ministry the Lord has called you to, and the work of teaching and encouraging others to making a devotional time an important part of their lives. Lord, thank you for Nia. Thank you for the anointing upon our life. Thank you for the specific work you've called her to in teaching and training believers to establish a faithful and an effective devotional life. Lord, anoint her. Bless her ministry and her work. Again, indeed, expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. Open doors for Nia to be able to have the platform and the opportunity to share more and more about this vital part of disciple making. Help, and as she shares, I pray that more and more people will catch the vision of the need for us to make it a high priority in our lives to become both faithful disciples ourselves and to the importance of teaching and training others to become disciple makers as well. And Lord, finally, help us to be reminded that this is a priority in your kingdom, that every single one of us is called by the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, to make disciples. All of us are supposed to be involved in this important work. Thank you for this opportunity. We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Nia, for being with us today.
Thank you.
We appreciate your time. And again, I hope that many will get a chance to both download the book and or get a copy of the book. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. And we, as always, appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.